a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Thanks for staying with us through the break. It's nice to have you tuned in with us for our travel get-together today. Mary and Robert here with you again. Before we take you to the Eagle Flight Research Center at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University for our personal connection segment, a brief word about the king of the superfruits, MightyMuscadine.com.
This southern grape has more antioxidants than blueberries, cranberries, goji, and wine grapes, and it comes in convenient 10-ounce bottles that are easy to pack and easy to enjoy. It's great for breakfast on the go, your daily commute, a tasty treat at the office, or I think it's great for sending your kids off to school with each day.
You know, in addition to the delicious, all-natural 100% muscadine grape juice, they also offer a full line of clinically tested products, including a daily supplement to support heart health and reduce inflammation, and healthy energy shots with extracts from the muscadine grape infused with green coffee. All products ship for free direct to your door when you order at MightyMuscadine.com or RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
For our personal connection episode today, we're refocusing attention to the real shortage of commercial airline pilots out there and examining ways this major void might be reduced. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University is widely recognized as one of the best aviation and aerospace universities in the United States. Not only do they train thousands of pilots to go on to have careers in aviation, they're also a leader in cutting-edge aviation research and innovation. To add his voice to our conversation about the future of aviation, joining us is Dr. Pat Anderson, the director of Embry-Riddle Eagle Flight Research Center.
Welcome to the show, Pat. Nice to connect with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, appreciate it. All right, listen, we've got a lot we want to try and cover with you, so I'm going to get right into this. And I guess, really, depending on who or what you want to believe, most of the sources out there that we've seen, they're all projecting commercial airline pilot shortages somewhere between 2,500 and 5,000 as soon as 2020, so, you know, a year and change. We already have major shortages that we're seeing impacting most heavily the regional airlines. An example is Great Lakes Airlines that shut down completely earlier this year. So what are you seeing and hearing out there, Pat, and do you agree with us that this is a serious issue that's going to impact all of us who fly in some way?
Well, it is a very serious issue because we're going to need a lot more pilots. The pilot population is aging. We have a significant wave of retirements coming up, which is making this pilot shortage. And we also see that the number of new pilots has dropped off. Some of that has been because the airlines in previous years have been in a little bit of a lull, and people didn't want to go into that area in that situation. And those two things overlapping have made a significant shortage in the beginning of the pipeline of putting pilots through as commercial airline pilots.
And another thing that we want to hit on, another top reason for the commercial airline pilot shortage, is the FAA changed back, I think it was in 2013, their rules to require a minimum of 1,500 hours of flight time to co-pilot a commercial flight. It's been a controversial rule and resulted, really, if I think about it, in about a six-fold increase from past requirements. So there are some exceptions, obviously. I know military pilots only need 750 hours. There's some others. How do you feel about the 1,500-hour rule? And what do you think about some of the chatter that's out there that they may be looking to make some adjustments?
Well, it's a very interesting, controversial rule, as you said. One of the things that it impacts all over the country is the fact that airline pilots can't go direct from their 250-hour pilot rating into an airliner, and that has some good effects and some bad effects, as it turns out. It might be better from the safety standpoint, although we're still working on the data. We try and be data-driven about those kind of decisions and looking at how that impacts the safety on an airline. The good impact that it has right now is that those folks that have to go from 250 hours up to the requirement for the airlines are going to end up being flight instructors. And if you think we have a shortage of airline pilots, we even have a more difficult problem with a shortage of the pilot instructors. And so that population would probably be significantly smaller if this 1,500-hour rule wouldn't be there. And people were jumping direct to the airline. So it's sort of a double-edged sword there.
Interesting.
All right. Pat, I'd like to talk about Embry-Riddle. Clearly, college leader in aeronautics and aviation. I can certainly think of some others. I do think of Purdue that comes to mind. But Embry-Riddle, clearly a high standard. Is your university expanding to allow more students into the school? And are you seeing a noticeable increase in enrollment of students that are looking to become pilots?
Yeah, so we've been lucky. We've had increased enrollments for quite a while. Those have been small but noticeable increases. This year we have a very large upswing in the number of aeronautical science students, which are our pilot track students, and we also see that in engineering for aircraft, so aerospace engineering and the other engineerings associated with the whole aerospace community of building up the infrastructure for airports and airlines.
So all sectors of the field, that's good news. All right, I'd like to get your thoughts on technology and the use of technology and whether it's attracting new students as well to help with the shortages. Robert and I actually have a son, and he's at a tech university up in New York State. And whenever we're on campus or even talking to him, he's always so excited and engaged with what that school is doing with the technology. And it's really impressive.
It is impressive.
It is. And I would think it's a good time to be involved in this field and be getting into aviation. So what are you guys doing at Embry-Riddle to connect with your students and attract future pilots and, as you said, engineers as well in aeronautics?
Well, I got to tell you, it's a really exciting time. And when I go in and teach classes, I'm sort of a little envious that I'm not sitting in the seats instead of being up at the board, because the new technology is going to bring about changes to aviation that are akin to some of the movies we've seen, like Avatar and the Avengers. Some of these vehicles that don't look like the classical airplanes are going to come out because of advances in technology. So it's a really vibrant area of design in new airplanes. And I think the first one you're going to see is this urban air mobility, which is the idea that we can take what are essentially very quiet, redundant, automated helicopters and use those to replace taxis and Uber-like missions for being able to fly in urban areas.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen some of that out there. All right, so let's unpack that a little bit more here, because back in May, Bonnie Simi, the president of JetBlue Ventures, she's an active pilot herself. She was on the program with us, and we talked a little bit about one of the companies that they're supporting, Zunum Aero, which essentially is developing regional electric aircraft. So with what you just said and combined with what Zunum Aero is doing, how far along is this technology, Pat? You know, in a world where Tesla and electric cars are now navigating our streets, you know, will it be that long before we're seeing electric and autonomous planes flying our skies?
Well, we're at the beginning of it, but a lot of factors are racing this to an endpoint very quickly, much more quickly than I've ever seen in our industry. So the Zunum type thing is an airliner. It's what we call a thin-hull electric airplane. And that promises to bring down direct operating costs and CO2 emissions. And then the other side of that is these light little helicopters. And what ties both of these together is we're pulling in the stuff that we've learned from the automotive industry in hybrids and electrified propulsion and using that in airplanes to do sort of the same things. We're reducing the cost and emissions. But we're also doing it to make missions that we couldn't do before. So these little helicopters that might have a whole bunch of little rotors, we couldn't have gas engines that would do that. So electrified propulsion in many different ways is allowing this really large expansion into new fields of aviation.
I find this fascinating. So I would think that reducing emissions is one of the items, but what are some other overriding implications that some of this electric and autonomous technology is going to have, I guess, in aviation, but also for all of us here on the ground?
Well, it's kind of funny. The FAA has been classically conservative in the certification of autonomous flight controls. And when you move to electrified propulsion, that has to be baked into that pie already. So it's a little bit of a Trojan horse towards moving forward the automation of airplanes. And I'm talking, you know, relatively sophisticated automation, because most airlines right now have the capability of flying from as soon as they take off to when they land by themselves. So we're talking about automation as a point of the airplanes making decisions on routing and stuff like that by themselves. And that was brought on by electrified propulsion as well.
I love the technology. I mean, it's exciting. You can hear the personal connection that you have to aviation,
your passion
about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought really it was interesting, your comment about wishing that you were in the seats versus at the front at the board. But Pat, listen, really nice to connect with you today. We thank you very much for sharing your insights and thoughts. We look forward to staying in touch with you and having you back in the future, because this clearly is going to continue to unfold and probably a little more rapidly than most of us think.
Very exciting time. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Pat. Take care.
All right, Mary, there is our overview on the pilot shortage situation and also just the technology, which
Urban air mobility.
Is
pretty exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see.
Exciting
I'd like
times.
To see you in one of those little helicopters.
I think I for some reason that appeals to me more. I don't know why.
Okay.
How high do they fly?
Folks, right now we're going to take a quick break for a few commercial messages from our sponsors. Remember, you can connect with us on our social media at RM World Travel. You can do it through the website as well. We hope you're going to stay right where you are, as there's still a lot more ahead, and we're going to get right to it after these messages.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.